Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, of course, is the second book in the Pentateuch, the Old Testament. We'll be reading from the 24th chapter of Exodus. We'll begin at verse 12 and read through verses 18. It is found on page 67 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tables of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his servant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Tarry here for us until we come to you again. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a cause, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days. And 40 nights. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Matthew. This morning, we'll be reading from the 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 9 of chapter 17, which is on page 861 of your pew Bibles. Excuse me, 851 of your pew Bibles. And let us at this time listen to God's word for us. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and his brother and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them to tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, today is Transfiguration Sunday. This is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in the season of Lent. But this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, is the Sunday where Jesus glows. This is where Jesus takes three of his disciples on top of a mountain, and like Moses in our Old Testament passage this morning, Jesus begins to glow. He begins to shine. Suspect we've all had our own glowing moments from time to time, those moments when we too are on top of the world, beaming and glowing for all to see. I saw a young father not too long ago celebrating the birth of his first child, and he was passing out cigars to his friends, and the thing I noted about him was that he was all aglow, beaming from ear to ear. My brother, who's a highway patrolman, was promoted last week to sergeant, something that he's been working towards for quite some time, and he sent me a picture of himself dressed in all of his full highway patrolman regalia. But what caught my attention was his glow, his shine. He was glowing over the accomplishment of a long goal that he had set for himself. And I suspect that we've all been there a time or two. We've all had that glow whenever we achieve something or distinguish ourselves in some way. I'm sure you've had your own glowing, shining moments. But the glow that Jesus has this morning is like no other glow. The glow that Jesus has is the glow that comes from being the Son of God. That's what the divine voice says. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This, of course, is a reiteration of what the voice told us earlier during Jesus' baptism. You remember at that time the sky was opened and the dove of the Holy Spirit came down and lighted on Jesus. And again, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son." But now, here we are several chapters over in Matthew's gospel, and we have a new epiphany. But this time it takes place on top of a mountain. And I imagine it must have been an awe-inspiring sight to behold. Some of the artwork I have seen of the Transfiguration doesn't do it justice. I'm sure it was something that you had to have been there to see in order to appreciate. Jesus on top of the mountain suddenly glows. Could you imagine being there on the mountain with Jesus, the same Jesus who you had been following, the same Jesus who you had gotten to know, the same Jesus who had been healing and teaching, and now he has taken you atop the mountain, and right before your eyes, his skin begins to glow, his raiment has become white as snow, and before you can get any word out, Elijah and Moses, two heroes from Israel's past, comes to be with him, and they are talking with him. It had to be an awe-inspiring moment. And then the whole scene covered in a glorious cloud. I think I would have been like Peter at a total loss for words. "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Maybe this is an opportunity for us to take a selfie and memorialize the moment for all to see." But Jesus, of course, discourages that. And then, of course, in the midst of it all, comes the voice. The divine voice. "This is my Son, my Beloved." That's who Jesus is, of course. He is the beloved Son of God. He is God with us. He is the new temple. He is the place where heaven and earth have come together. He is the person in the place where the glory of the Lord is being revealed. He is the person in the place where we capture a glimpse of God's glorious resurrection future. That's what it means to be the beloved Son of God. but of course it means more than that. Son of God language is kingly language. It is messianic language. It is the divine pronouncement that Jesus is Israel's king. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the leader that Israel has been waiting for. He is the leader that the whole world has been waiting for. He is the one who has come to liberate us, the one who has come to save us. And that is why the divine voice says, listen to him. Don't listen to anyone else, but listen to Jesus. Many of us might say at this point, of course we're going to listen to Jesus. Of course we're going to listen to him. He is, after all, the Son of God. Yes, we're going to listen to Jesus, especially now that we have seen him glowing and shining. Yes, of course, we will listen to him. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows how easy it is for us not to listen. How easy it is for us to tune out all of those voices that we don't agree with, all of those voices that present a reality that is different from the reality that we have put our faith and trust in, even if it is the voice of Jesus himself, we sometimes do not listen. And so the divine voice says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. I confess this morning it's not always easy to listen to Jesus, or at least it's not always easy for me to listen to Jesus. I won't implicate you all, but it's not always easy for me to listen to Jesus. I went out one time and bought one of those red letter Bibles. It's one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are printed in red. And I bought it because I thought it would help me to hear better the words of Jesus, to have the words of Jesus better inscribed on my heart so that I might be more attuned to the things that Jesus was saying. But I discovered that even with that red-lettered Bible, it is still hard to listen to Jesus. Hard to listen to Jesus because Jesus often says some difficult things for us. Things that we would rather not hear. Jesus says things like, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I confess that most of the time, I don't listen to that. I don't want to love my enemies. I want to have contempt for my enemies. I agree with our president on that one. I wonder sometimes if everyone who said that they were a follower of Jesus, if they would just listen to that part of what Jesus said, how it might transform and transfigure our current moment. But I confess, I don't want to listen to Jesus when he starts talking like that. But the divine voice says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says things like, do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. And when I hear those words, I say, wow. I mean, I don't listen to that on most days. Most of the time, I am filled with judgment, judgment of other people, judgment of what people have done. I'm filled with judgment. But the divine voice says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says things like, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I have to say, I don't listen to that. Sometimes I do all that I can to store up all that I can to fortify my life down here. I believe in having treasures down here. And so I don't listen to Jesus, but that's what the divine voice says. Listen to him. Jesus says things like, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And you know, we live in a society that doesn't listen to that. We live in a society that worships wealth, that believes in wealth. We believe that if you have wealth, that's what makes you somebody. We believe that if you have wealth, that's what qualifies you to be able to hold public office. If you have wealth, that's everything. And so that's what we aspire to as well, to have wealth, to have things, to have riches and wealth and success. But the divine voice says, listen to Jesus. It's hard for us to listen to Jesus. Hard for me, at least, to listen to Jesus. I don't think it was any easier for the Lord's earliest disciples to listen to him either. Indeed, the story of the Transfiguration takes place at a critical point. It takes place right after the Lord has set his face towards Jerusalem. And Jesus has been trying to tell his disciples what that will mean. They have their own understanding and their own idea of what that's going to mean. They're waiting to get to Jerusalem, and they're anticipating Jesus getting there and establishing his kingdom and overcome their enemies, and they're going to win. And Israel is going to be great. He's going to reestablish the greatness of Israel. And Jesus is trying to tell them that that's not the way God is doing things. That's not the path that he will be following, and it's not the path that God will be following in him. Jesus tells them that the Son of Man will suffer and die. And he tells them it's not only about him, but it's also about them as well, that in order to be his followers, they too must deny themselves and pick up their cross. But they don't want to listen to that. Indeed, as Peter himself says, no, Lord, that's not the way it's supposed to go. That's not the way that the script is supposed to go. He refuses to listen. And James and John too, they refuse to listen as well. They come to Jesus shortly after he says that, and they ask him if they can be on his right-hand side and his left-hand side, the places of honor, when he comes into his glory, because they refuse to listen to what Jesus is telling them, that to be great in the kingdom of God is to be the servant of all the rest. If you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, it means you have to walk in the way of self-giving love. You've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross. But they don't listen. We don't listen to what Jesus is trying to tell us. Why doesn't anybody listen? I wonder what kind of world it would be if all the all of us who said we were followers of Jesus, listened to him. I wonder what kind of country we would have if all of us who said that we believed in Jesus listened to him. The story of the Transfiguration, of course, is about Jesus. It's what happens to him. It's about his shining and glowing. It's about his disciples seeing him in a whole new light. But the story is also about all of us. It's our transfiguration too. Because that's what God wants from each and every one of us. God wants us to be transfigured. He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to glow. He wants us to shine. He wants us to be beloved children of his. He wants us to be the place where heaven and earth come together. He wants us to be the place where the glory of the Lord is being revealed. He wants us to be the people who bear witness to God's coming future. But in order to do that, we have to listen. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. As I said, next Sunday will be the first Sunday in the season of Lent. In Lent, we will start our Lenten journey preparing ourselves to follow Jesus as he makes his way to the cross. It will be our opportunity to come down from the mountain as Jesus' disciples do and to follow him as he makes his way to the cross. And indeed, Jesus reminds us that as we make his that way, that we are still called to listen to what he tells us. And what he tells us is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the road ahead. Don't be afraid to listen to the voice of God in your life. Don't be afraid to give up on what the world believes can save you. Don't be afraid to follow in the steps of Jesus. Don't be afraid to open yourself up. Don't be afraid to walk in the ways of self-giving love. Don't be afraid, because it's only by walking in the way of Jesus that we come to hear and understand who we really are. That we too are beloved sons and daughters of God. But we must listen. Listen to him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we live in a world where we have become consumed by what is going on around us. We live in a world where we are wont to listen to all kinds of other voices. Angry voices, arrogant voices, the voices that speak from within our own hearts. You have told us to listen to the one who brings us eternal life. And we acknowledge how difficult it is to listen to Jesus. But you have called us forth to shine. You have called us forth to be the light of the world. You have called us forth to show your glory. And so we ask, Lord, that as we continue our journey as your people, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will help us to do just that. That you will give us the power to be your beloved sons and daughters. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.